Great. Good afternoon, and welcome everyone to our GE Healthcare Analyst Meeting and webcast. Today, for the folks that are on the phone for the webcast, we have the slides available at our website at www.ge.com/investor. We'll be recording today's event, so you'll be able to see the replay probably starting tomorrow. We'll put information about that up on our website. I'm really pleased today to have here our CEO and President, John Dineen, and several members of his leadership team. John is about a 25-year veteran in General Electric, been in several different businesses. I've had the pleasure of actually working for John back in the days of transportation. He has been leading the healthcare business for a little over 2 years, and we're really excited to share our current year results and where we're going in the future with this business today. We're going to present for about 2 hours, and then we'll have time for Q&A at the end. And because, as always, this large room, we're going to hand out the mic so that we can record it for the webcast. We'll have plenty of time for definitely questions and answers. So, as I always have to say, elements of this presentation are forward-looking and based on the world and businesses as we see them today. As you know, those events can change, so please interpret them in that light. So without further ado, I'd really like to introduce John Dineen. Yep.
I'm going to talk a little bit about the healthcare business, give you some background for those of you that might be new to it. I'll talk a little bit about the healthcare environment, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about our strategy. So, you know, my day in the healthcare business is an interesting day. I'll have a discussion on CAT scans and MRIs, and then I'll move on to a discussion on EMR systems and how we digitize healthcare IT in hospitals. And then we'll talk about stem cell therapies, because our life sciences business is building out capabilities to support stem cell therapies around the world. And then we go over to Pascal's business, and we talk about molecular diagnostics and precision diagnostics for cancer therapies. And then I work with Jan on how we schedule hospital ORs. So at the end of any given day, my head can hurt. And today, you're going to have my kind of day. You're gonna be able to walk through and see the incredible technologies in this portfolio. We are a very deep and broad healthcare portfolio. We play in diagnostic and imaging equipment and HCS, information technology, our life sciences, where we really provide tools and technologies to the biopharma industry, and a medical diagnostic. So it's a very broad portfolio. Very global portfolio, but this is a high-tech portfolio. We have to continue investing. These are leadership products, and we don't sell to consumers. We sell to craftsmen. Doctors around the world respect and need technology to do their craft. So this is a really high-tech portfolio. This is also a very global business. Over the years, we've built an incredibly global footprint in this business. If you look at the distribution of revenues, employees, factories, research and development, we play in every part of the world. Because the fact of the matter is, everybody has a healthcare system, and everybody is trying to improve their healthcare system. And we've seen that really kick off in a big way lately. The thing about the business model is that there's some great levers in it. It's predicated on high-tech infrastructure spending, so it's an infrastructure business. There's low protectionism. People ask me all the time, how do you compete in China? We compete in China. That's how. You know, you're not up against a state-owned darling in this industry, so you have relatively unimpaired access in going after this market. And, you know, China and every other developing market around the world, or country, every government is interested in building out their healthcare system, modernizing their healthcare system, much more interested in that than trying to sort of rebuild an industrial base in this particular area. There's low manufacturing capital investment. We can put new factories up very quickly in a market and justify that and become local, and we'll talk about what that means. It's globally translatable technology. I don't have to rebuild it or re-engineer it as I do in some other industries. There are also some barriers to entry here. There's high technology and IP, very high, across this business. It's also highly regulated. FDA, SFDA in China. The operations are precision operations, both from a manufacturing and an engineering standpoint. If you fall behind in this area, you're shut down. So it's not easy to just set up camp and move into the healthcare space. And the other thing that's really important is clinical domain's important. You can't move from electronics into healthcare electronics. You can't just move from IT into healthcare IT. You've got to understand the clinical domain. You have to understand healthcare. So, you know, on one side, there are some things that allow you to to broaden your base, to access new markets. But there are also some important barriers to entry, and that really creates an innate global model in our case, particularly when we have such a big and broad business structure. A little bit more background on just performance and where we are with the business. Listen, we want to be predictable. We want to deliver results, and we want to be operationally excellent in this business. A year ago, I stood up in front of you and told you that we'd probably see revenues in the 3 to 5 category. We're pretty close to that range here on the revenue, and we thought our profit would be in the 10 range. We're actually doing a little bit better. We're getting better leverage than we thought there due to better contribution margins. So, listen, developing markets are booming, 20 to 30%, and that's just going to continue. The U.S. Has snapped back, not because of health reform, because we're done talking about health care reform. Really, the fact that the rules could change, the fact that people didn't know where health care was going, that coupled with an economic recession really slowed down the U.S. market. Now we're sort of back to normal in some ways. We're adding heads in emerging markets. As I said, contribution margin up. You know, we're doing a good job on our variable cost structure, and we're tightly managing pricing in the marketplace, and that's giving us some great lift there. We've got a strong product portfolio. Our commercial teams feel like they got better products to fight the game this year, and that's really helping. We're investing in a big way. You're going to see in healthcare IT, we're investing in Quilibria, in life sciences, in stem cell capability, in medical diagnostics, molecular diagnostics, in HCS, home health. So in every one of our businesses, we're making big, big breakout investments, as well as making sure that our product lines for next year and the year after that are much stronger. We get good leverage on the growth in this business, 3X, and listen, we had great cash performance last year, and that just continues. We're going to continue to work our working capital performance. We've got a great opportunity to work lean logistics, our distribution process, and we're going to continue to do that. So, you know, say do is important to me and this business team, and I think we're going to be able to continue to drive good, solid operating performance in this business, and more importantly, do what we say we're going to do. I'm going to take just step back and talk a little bit about the environment. People ask me about what's going on in healthcare generally. I'm going to talk about consumers. I'm going to talk a little bit about governments, and I'm going to talk about technology. In healthcare, you start with a patient. Every discussion starts with the patient. And in this discussion, we got to stand back and look at the patients around the world and say, what's going on from a demographic standpoint in healthcare? Well, here's what's going on. People are getting older, and people are getting sicker. Okay, if you look at the population in developing and developed markets, people over 65 are increasing 140% and 51% respectively. People spend money on healthcare in their later years, a lot of money. So you're just seeing this huge mix shift in the population dynamics to people that are older. Chronic diseases are also exploding, not just in developed markets, but in the developing markets around the world. So you see chronic diseases being cardiac disease, cancer, diabetes, obesity, are just exploding, and that's making people, frankly, sicker. And these chronic diseases are diseases where people stay sick for a long time and require a lot of assistance. So when you look at the fundamental demand drivers in developed and developing markets, the consumer, the patient, we've got a lot of sick people out there and more on the way. And healthcare systems have to figure out how they deal with that. Now, if you look at the politics of healthcare, you have very different scenarios in different parts of the world, as typified by these three countries. You know, in the U.S., you really have a healthcare system that's high service, good results, but very, very expensive. We've gone through healthcare reform. We've added more people to that healthcare system. So a healthcare system that's spending 15-16% of GDP just got more people in it. So there's going to be more demand for healthcare here. But at the same time, the U.S. has to figure out how it makes healthcare more productive. And I think you're going to see hospitals investing more in productivity tools, HCS tools that can get more throughput, solutions businesses like Jan's going to talk about, healthcare IT, things that can make healthcare much more productive. I tell you, there's a tremendous amount of opportunity, and we'll give you a feel for where that is. China is a flat-out build-out, just a build-out. India, build-out. Russia, build-out. They have real inequalities in healthcare, geographic inequalities in healthcare. And healthcare is an enormous political and social issue. Governments have to pay attention to it. So most of these developing countries are undergoing huge investments in their healthcare systems. And it's all about access, getting healthcare to people that really didn't have it. And then in what we call public healthcare systems, and particularly in Europe, Japan, it's about quality. Everybody gets healthcare. They have to make sure that there aren't long waiting lines or quality problems. So they're really focused on quality. But those are the three variables that every government's trying to manage: cost, access, and quality. And politically, you can trade these variables off, you know, lower the cost, but I might get a little lower quality or lower access. Or you can invest in technologies to change your healthcare and move both variables at the same time. Invest in healthcare IT, doing things that really change the curve or bend the curve, as they say. And focusing on those three variables, cost, quality, and access, is something that we do in this business. Now, the third trend is really around technology. What's changing from a technology out standpoint that's going to impact healthcare? The first is both diagnostics, our world, and therapies are moving to the biological world, molecular biology. You look at the pharma companies, they're moving to biopharma. They're investing, they're buying, they're going into biopharma. Diagnostics is going to do the same thing, and we're going to show you what that means to us. But we've got to move from just physiology and radiology into molecular medicine. Industrialization of healthcare. That's one of the things that healthcare reform around the world is doing. It's putting pressure on providers to get productive. And you might say, finally putting pressure, because they've lived in a cost-plus world for a long time. Well, now as they're more challenged, they're interested in technologies that will bring more efficiencies. They're becoming more industrial. We like that. We may be a healthcare company, but we're still GE, and GE knows the infrastructure business. These guys are going to need the same types of tools and capabilities that we've brought to the railroads, to the airlines, to the utilities. This is our type of game. As our customers have cost challenges, we know how to expand our service model to help them solve these problems. Innovation is innovation that is clinically and economically relevant. The healthcare industry, players like us, have been allowed to operate on just take the technology to the next level premise. Double the slices in the CT. You know, it's really, you could just take the technology to the next level, whatever it was, and you really didn't have to think much more about it. Now you've got to have a good clinical proposition and a good economic proposition. You've really got to be thinking about the investment. It's got to be more practical at every level. And we've launched Healthy Imagination. I'll talk about what that means, but it's really to make sure that we're not just, you know, going after the next great technology. There's going to be more discipline in what we go after. And then the digitization of healthcare. You can't pick up a newspaper without reading about this in the morning. Healthcare is way behind most other industries from a digitization standpoint. We'll show you where they have been successful and where we've been successful and where we think they're going to go, because this is going to start to break open with the changes to healthcare reform and finally the definitions of meaningful use. So we're going to see some action in this space. So these are the macro trends on the supply side that are driving changes in healthcare. So given that, given who we are and what's going on in the environment, I'll talk a little bit about what you should expect from us and where we're investing and where we think we can make a difference with this business. You know, from a long-term performance standpoint, we think this is a business that in the types of markets we're staring at today ought to be able to grow at 5 to 10%, ought to be able to deliver double-digit op profit, and ought to be able to approach a return on total capital of 15%. So we're going to stay focused on these types of returns. And in order to do that, we're going to focus on the strategies below: healthy imagination, developing markets, adding growth platforms to our services, making that a bigger business, delivering products with clinical and economic relevance, investing in IT, broadening life sciences, and then molecular diagnostics, which I'm sure you have a lot of questions about. So I'll walk you through each one of these, and then the team's going to take you on a deeper dive of all of those technologies. The first is healthy imagination. I get a lot of questions from different audiences as to, what is healthy imagination, John? What does it mean? Well, healthy imagination means one thing to our employees. It means another thing to our customers. But, you know, you guys are investors. So what does healthy imagination mean to an investor? it means that we have much tougher screens and much more practical screens on our investment dollars and our NPIs. Anything that we do in Omar's portfolio or Pascal's portfolio, we've got to think about what's this going to do clinically, how's this going to work with a treatment, and what are the overall economics going to be? What's the impact going to be on the healthcare system? So I think you're going to see very disciplined investing here in products and technologies that have a relevant value proposition, different value proposition. And that's a lot more discipline than I think the industry's had to work on in the past. And so we really look at products and we say cost, quality, and access. You know, how's it going to impact the cost? Can we reduce the cost of a therapy or a procedure? Can we improve the quality, i.e. lower the dose of a CT scan? Or can we get access? Can we provide access that no one's ever had? Can we get a CT to a small hospital in China that never could afford a CT? Well, if we make that CT one-third the cost, maybe we can do that. People say, oh, well, that cannibalized your CT business. No, it's going to cannibalize somebody else's X-ray business. What's going to happen. So we're really focusing on these three levers, and we make the product teams come back and tell us how they're going to make a difference here. And that's what healthy imagination means to investors, which is discipline. How are you going to compete in the developing markets? How do you compete in China? How do you compete in India? Well, you don't sit in Milwaukee or London and compete in China or India. In order to compete, we've got to be a great global company with all the strength, all the technology, the broad portfolio that we've talked about, and we've got to be a local company. And being local isn't just it's not a buzzword. Being local means you have to invest in your footprint. You have to invest in your capabilities, and that's what we've been doing in these developing markets. We've, you know, doubled the number of engineers, the manufacturing team, the total heads, the salespeople. You're going to see what we're doing from a sales and distribution standpoint in China in a little while. The number of plants, our supply chain is expanding, and probably more importantly, the in-country ICSE's in-country for-country products. So the products that are designed by the engineers in that country for that market. Because the closer I get my engineers to my customers, the better my results tend to be in a market like this. And that's giving us, you know, we're getting results. But it's about having a great global technology base, different types of technologies to pick and choose from, and then to be able to execute those technologies locally. And that gives us a tremendous advantage. You know, people all the time bring up small $50 million companies in China or India and ask me how I'm going to compete with them. And I'm going to be a $17 billion company on the ground in a China or in India. That's how I'm going to compete with them. And if you couple it with the points I said earlier about markets and access and the clear shot that you get, this is a very powerful combination. From a service standpoint, it's how do we grow our service business? We've had a wonderful break-fix maintenance model. It's really focused on uptime, and uptime is very important. If you go visit a clinic in Ghana, and these guys have spent money on $1 million on a CT or an MR, and it's only available, you know, half the days out of the year, that's a real problem. They respect and need somebody that can keep that machine up and running because it's a significant investment for a small clinic or a small hospital. So we've got a great global business here, and we continue to focus on our capabilities for the customer as well as the returns for the shareholder and the CM here. Now, we've decided that we can probably do that for products outside of our portfolio. So we started to expand our capabilities to focus on all of the assets in the hospital or the clinical setting. And we've been able to build a $1 billion business that's growing even faster here that's focused on asset optimization in the entire hospital. And now we've added a third platform, and this is about knowledge solutions. And this is us bringing IT capabilities, industrial process capabilities, and consulting skills to the hospital environment to help them deal with the new challenges of healthcare, to get them more efficient, to help them explore their databases to understand where they're performing well, where they're not performing well from a clinical and economic standpoint. So, we've got a real opportunity to do what we've done in many of the other infrastructure businesses in terms of expanding our service portfolio. What's different now is the customers want it. They want it. You know, in a cost-plus world, nobody's that interested in productivity. When people have cost problems, they get interested in productivity. When you look at each one of our businesses, and HES is a great example, we really expect two things. The first is we want to have the broadest portfolio in the game, much broader portfolio than any of our customers. And in HCS, the Imaging and Clinical Systems product groups, we have the broadest portfolio in the world, and we continue to extend that portfolio. We're just starting to move that portfolio into an area on the far right, which is home health. So we've gone from the hospital setting to the clinical setting, and now we're starting to move into the home setting. What's more important is that in each one of these categories, in each one of these product lines, we have to make sure that we have leadership product, where we can gain share all over the world. And how do we define that? We define it a couple different ways, and Omar's really going to take you through this in some detail. But in the core of the segment, in a 1.5 magnet in MR, it's having a great wide-bore product with superior image quality. And we make sure that we've got a leadership product in the heart of the lineup. In developing markets, we have to make sure that the portfolio has the economics to work in a China and India. So how do we do an MR at half the price or a third of the price? So we're broadening the portfolio to make sure not only do you have leadership product, but you have a broad product from a geographic standpoint. And then finally, how do you change the game? How do you get disruptive? How do you redefine that product category like MR? And it's doing things like specialty MR. You see it on the page. You'll also see it over to your right. These are products that say you don't have to go through the tube. Maybe we can sit you in a chair and put your arm or your leg in this extremity MR. Perhaps we can do it at a much lower cost than the traditional and actually get a better image at the same time. So we're looking at being disruptive in these product categories and redefining them. That ought to get us to a leadership position in growth in all these categories. Healthcare IT. Healthcare IT is a lot of things. So let me break it down for you first. Healthcare IT is specialties, and those are departmental solutions. The best example in the past has been radiology and PACS. We've built a $650 million PACS business by focusing on that specialty or that department. And we've got it in perinatal and perioperative and other areas. Then there's the what they call the EMRs. People call that electronic medical record. That's actually an MRP system for hospital, for those of you that are familiar with the manufacturing environment. You know, that does the clinical workflows, it does the revenues, it does the billing, it does group management. It's the MRP system. Those have been deployed over the last 5 or 6 years in big hospitals. The small clinics, the ambulatories, the primary care physicians, it hasn't been deployed there yet. And they've been waiting. Now we have finally worked through in healthcare IT the definition of meaningful use. People like us have certified products now for meaningful use, and that market's going to open up. So we're going to see the deployment of EMR and clinical business solutions in that space. And then there's the next generation, which is connecting hospitals, with connecting information, health information exchanges, and Quilibria, which is really providing clinical decision support. So allowing a doctor to know real-time what the standard of care is for therapy or for diagnostic. So we've built a business here in the specialty side of the game and in the large hospital EMRs. We're also very well positioned for what I would call stage two and stage three. Stage two is taking EMRs into this ambulatory primary care network, and Vishal's going to talk about how we're doing that with products like Centricity Advance. There are departmentals out there that haven't been digitized yet. Pathology is one of them. Pathology is still microscopes and paper and slides, and we've invested in a product to digitize pathology. And then finally, over on the right-hand side, we're investing in products that are really going to be the next level of digital reform in healthcare, which is Quilibria and health information exchanges. Then there's the life sciences portfolio. And this is the part of our portfolio where we actually play on the therapy side, but we do it one step removed. We are the supplier of research tools and manufacturing technologies to the biopharma industry. So Amgen, Genentech, Lilly, Merck, all these guys that are doing next generation of therapies use our products and technologies to develop and manufacture those therapies. So it's a great business model focused on a very, very high growth segment, which is a biopharmaceutical segment. And that's really where pharma is going. If you read the papers, if you watch the acquisitions, this is a place to be from a therapy standpoint. And we've got a great, really, a business with a great heritage of supplying to the space. We're a leader in the traditional recombinant technology. This is where you take a gene, insert it in a cell, a gene for insulin, put it in a cell, breed the cells produce insulin, then you isolate the insulin. That's the manufacturing process. We've been a leader there. We are now a leader in technologies related to monoclonal antibodies. Those are the new cancer drugs. And what we're investing in now are the technologies that support the development and propagation of stem cells for therapies. So, you know, a great, great track record in the old world of recombinant, in today's world of monoclonal antibodies, and in tomorrow's world of stem cell therapies. This is a terrific business model, a very valuable part of the portfolio. If you're looking for a mark-to-market reference here, its twin sibling is a Millipore, and you might have saw the valuations in that transaction over the summer. That's the type of business that we're talking about here. And then finally, there's a piece of our diagnostics business that's also predicated in the biological sciences, and that's molecular diagnostics. As I said on the prior page, most of the pharma companies are moving to biotherapies. They're wonderful because they're extremely powerful. The challenge they have is they're very precise. These are rifle shots, not shotguns. And what you see is the way we look at diseases from a diagnostic standpoint is changing. In radiology, we'll tell you that it's a tumor. In the world of molecular diagnostics, we interrogate that tissue, both in the body and outside of the body, to get its fingerprint, to know what kind of tumor this is, so we can match that tumor with the appropriate treatment. Because today, in the world of biopharmas, we can't afford to give a treatment to a population of 100 people and only have 10 respond. Clinically, that doesn't work. Economically, that doesn't work. If we know the 10 beforehand, the treatments are going to be much more effective from a clinical standpoint. The economics are going to be 10 times better. And that's why we're investing in this space. It's diagnostics has to move in the same direction that the therapies are moving, and that's at, to a molecular level. We've assembled quietly assembled a very powerful portfolio here in the medical diagnostics business with strong in vivo diagnostics. At GRC, we developed some molecular pathology tools that Lilly and some of the other pharmaceutical companies are using. I talked about digital pathology, and then we've added to that an operations and commercial vehicle, a mechanism to take these technologies to market, which is Clarion. And when you put this together, it gives us an opportunity to be a very strong player in really the field that diagnostics is going. This is where diagnostics is going. We think we've got the capability to be a leader in that space, and we think it's going to be a big space from a monetary standpoint. So that's the vision. That's where we're going with the business. Those are the investments that we're making in the business. You know, it's healthy imagination. It's how we think about the products that we're investing in. I think it's going to give us some great discipline. We think we can win in the developing markets. Everybody's afraid of China. We love it. Marcelo's going to tell you why. We're adding growth platforms to our service business. We know that model. We're developing products that are relevant. We think we've got a great healthcare IT portfolio. We have a wonderful asset in life sciences that we're going to continue to expand. And we're investing in molecular diagnostics. So each one of the speakers today is going to take you a little bit deeper on every one of these areas. And we're going to start with Marcelo, who's going to talk about winning in China. Marcelo?